Very good. Thank you to everybody for being on our virtual call today. We had hoped we could do in person, but unfortunately COVID thought otherwise and has pushed us back into another virtual meeting. So kind of do a roll call to make sure we've got everybody represented, or make note of it. Someone representing the North region?
Chris, I've got the actual subcommittee roster for you. Let me just call it out.
Yeah, that'll be fine. Thank you.
All right. North region, either Marcus Wells or Tyler Knickerbocker.
Marcus.
Thank you, Marcus. South region, either Herman or Byers.
Herman.
Hunter.
Cool. East region, Lee Price or Emerson? All right. West region, Lazinski or Sasser?
I'm here.
All right. Raleigh Way, Mr. McNutter? Dominic, you on?
Raleigh Way's here.
Okay. Town of Cary, Mike Cooper?
Yes, sir.
City of Raleigh, either Chief Griffin or Chief Smith? Chief Perry, looks like East Region is absent a voting person, and City of Raleigh. Other than that, everybody's accountable.
Price will be on in a second.
Who did you say would be on? I'm sorry.
Chief Price will be on in a second. I just called him.
Very good. Just as a matter of update everybody or keep everybody in the loop, you may recall we've added a representative from Cary Fire and Raleigh Fire. We had some conversation in our last meeting, and we certainly welcome Chief Cooper and either in the future Chief Griffin or Chief Smith as well as we go through the conversation today. I think it's going to be very good to have them in the room, so to speak, as we discuss some of these issues. As always, our minutes are posted on waygov.com. You can go into subcommittee section and hear the audio, so that serves as the most accurate version of the minutes that I know we could keep, I think. So with that, we'll move into old business without further delay. Someone with Raleigh Wake, any CAD updates or outstanding issues we need to discuss this morning or this afternoon?
Hey everyone, this is Rob Parrish. Just to give you a brief update on what we're working on over here. CAD to CAD, of course, one of the biggest things that we've been focusing our attention on. We had a good meeting today with Cary and Central Square. The good news is crashes have been down since Cary has added the second server at their site. So they have a lot more redundancy with that and has improved its resiliency. But we did bring up a whole bunch of open tickets that we have both on the Cary side and the Raleigh side with Central Square. Some of the big ones being the improper recommends that we're getting on structure fire in the CAM area or Holly Springs area usually. We're gonna be doing some testing on that this Friday and next week in live CAD, just so everyone's aware of placing these calls and trying to recreate the events so that Central Square can try to pull the log and see what's going on. There's a couple other issues going on with CAD to CAD that we've noticed from time to time with the unit's request timing out in the hub. Central Square has told us that they have a new version for the TELUS hub that should be coming out in the next 2 weeks, and Cary has requested that they become an early adopter of that new version, because supposedly it's going to have a lot of fixes in it. Wrapping up some of the old business, we made those response plan changes from the EFD updates back in early December. Haven't had any issues with those. And other CAD business, we are still in talks with Central Square on becoming an early adapter to version 21.4. they pushed it back from late fall. We're trying to get another update from them on when that's going to be available for us to put in training CAD and try to test out. But that's all I have here, unless anyone has any questions.
Rob, one question. The 21.4, is that the one that's connected with the mobile client that we're kind of waiting for?
Yeah, that's the one that has a whole lot of fixes that we're interested in with the mobile client. And we really wanted to get that into our training environment so we could start testing it out. And of course, Central Square has said that there's a lot of fixes from our open tickets available in 21.4. And since they're not doing any hot fixes really for our current version, that's our best course of action for getting these things resolved.
Very good. Anyone have any questions for Rob or the Raleigh Lake staff? Very good. Thank you for the report. Mayday policy update is the second item on our old business. So since this group met last, we had a meeting of some of us from this committee, representatives from Cary Fire, Raleigh Fire, Cary 911, Raleigh Wake, and then a few others, Frank Hall and a couple others, to kind of talk through the Mayday policy, some of the challenges associated with that. I thought it was a very, very good meeting. A lot of passion and desire to end up with an end product that is much better than what we have today. And we were able to look at some of the, or do, talk through some of the things that need to be worked out. It is not as simple. I think my biggest takeaway, and I'll pause in just a second for others who may have been there, but it's not as simple as just reprogramming the radio and telling people we've made a change. This change trickles down throughout the centers and in a lot of different aspects as well. So I think we all understand the gravity of making sure that this is right, is done right. So one piece of that I somewhat volunteered this committee for is a work to standardize and update our radio aliases. The aspect of making sure that combine radio and alias twice, that's what you get. With our aliases, they need to be very much accurate, and two, that alias has to be passed through the system so that we're seeing those aliases match up on the CAD side, on the radio system side. So there's a couple of things that need to be done, but a lot of our aliases were developed with the idea that they were maybe easily understood by the department, but not so easily understood by the telecommunicator. And what I mean, as an example, if I had an alias that had Zebulon Shift Captain, for example, I know who that is, know how that works. That works well for us internally. But if that person were to push their emergency button in an emergency situation for the 911 center, either whether it be Raleigh, Cary, or anybody else for that matter, to be able to determine who that individual is and what caller they're on presents great challenges. So we had some conversations of doing some more standardization of our aliases, because we've pretty much told people, you know, that we hadn't really given a lot of guidance in the past. And if memory serves me, and Frank can correct me if I'm wrong, I think we've got about 12 characters there to come up with the aliases. What we're seeing many of the agencies are doing or have already done is use a unit designator followed by a position description. So maybe it's, you know, the example I think we used in the meeting was, you know, Raleigh Fire Engine 1 officer or Raleigh Fire Engine 1 driver or what have you. There was some discussion about use of letters A, B, C, D that many use. But, you know, even standardizing that among all the different agencies began to be a challenge. So I think there's a lot of work we can do to work towards standardizing those, at least making them to a point where it would provide additional information to the telecommunicator when the button is activated. So I'm going to pause right there just a second, and I know Chief Cooper was there, and several others of you were there. Feedback from that meeting or takeaway from that meeting?
Yeah, Chris, I'll make it short. I think the main themes that came out of the meeting was we understood there needed to be collaboration, and not everyone could have their way. So the nomenclature on the aliases was one example. Number two, we agreed when the emergency button is pressed that we'll stay tactical as opposed to going emergency, which that presents challenges at the comm center and how those emergency activations are reset and or silenced. So the comm center is working on a component of that and how that's going to work. Second, by staying tactical, it doesn't matter which system you're operating on because of the shared core now. So for an example, if units are operating in Raleigh on a tactical channel and press the button, it activates in the Raleigh center. It also activates in Cary center on that tactical channel. So we now have probably true interoperability where both centers are going to be able to see the emergency activation. And then lastly, Frank and Terry are exploring the option. It's not an option, but my understanding is, I know Terry has it, is if a channel is moved, if a tax channel that a unit is operating on is that unit moves by accident, moves over to another tax channel and activates an emergency button, the center has the ability to manually move that radio back to the correct tax channel. That was the other major discussion point, I think. Chris, I'll turn it back over to you, but that's what I recall is the major points that were discussed and plans to work on all of that.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chief Cooper. I appreciate that. And you're exactly right. The more what I really took away from this, and I kind of alluded to it just a little bit earlier, but, you know, in my mind, this is a pretty simple change. And quite honestly, it's anything but simple because, just as Chief Cooper just described, you know, we talked about if you've got an emergency activate, you know, who resets it, who responds to it, you know, how many consoles does it alert on, and how much of that is configurable, and a lot of things to be worked out. But I think the gist of the whole group was every bit of that work was worth it, and it was worth giving the time to dig through this stuff and invest some time into it to make it all work like we want it to work. So any questions or other comments that people may have want to express from that meeting or what we're talking about?
Yeah, this is Frank. I do want to give you guys some items to consider when you're developing your unified alias table or your common alias table or list. Is that please make sure we cannot duplicate aliases in the radio system, at least. So, you know, everybody can't have an alias of engine one, whatever, utility three, whatever. So what we found in the past that works is if we have some pre-characters in there that identifies the station, like ZF, Zebulon Fire, engine one, versus Fuquay Fire Engine 1, you know. So that is helpful when you guys are developing your alias list. Also, you have to be mindful of when you're developing those aliases, some of the departments, even though the names aren't the same, the lettering is, like Roseville and Raleigh Fire, you know, RFD, you know, Raleigh Fire Department, that could also stand for Roseville Fire Department. So whatever you guys develop, just be mindful that we cannot duplicate aliases. So we have to have a unique alias for each department. That has to be something that is a requirement. And you're right, Chris, there is a limitation on characters in the radio system aliasing. It is 14 characters. So that should be enough room for any unique aliases that you guys come up with. And to Chief Cooper's comments related to some of the findings, who in the Cary side investigated and the ability of the telecommunicator to move a radio back to the channel they were on in case they got off on a different channel?
Chris Hagley.
That's Hagley. So he has tested that, and he can do that. Chris, I don't know if you're on the phone or not, but you've tested that. And you, as a 911 dispatcher monitoring a console, can move a radio back to the original channel they were on. I don't know if he's on the call or not. Because if he is, then we need to discuss that. And it sounds like if he's already done it and proven it, then all that needs to be done is that procedure needs to be sent over to Raleigh so they can emulate that procedure.
Frank, there's a channel manager that don't hold me to this. It's whatever application they use to do that's going to have to be moved to each console. But I know they tested it and it can be done. But I'll put Chris in touch with you.
Yes, please do, because I haven't had any discussion with anyone on that. So I certainly don't want to come up with a different solution that's different. And if he's already done it and already tested and proven it, then all we need to do is just emulate what he's doing and we should be fine. So thank you for that.
So Frank, just a couple of comments. Thank you for that insight. We had some offline discussion to your point. If a portable radio is associated with a unit, that we precede whatever text we want to include with the CAD unit designator. That's kind of a common, or it's just a unique identifier. So if it's, for us, if it's 91, then we precede the first five characters of those 14 would be ZFE91. That tells the communicator that radio is associated with that unit, as compared to where we may currently use just 91, which could potentially get confused with Medic 91. So I think that CAD identifier is a good way to provide a unique alias, regardless of what follows it, whether it be driver, operator, firefighter, captain, whatever. It'll tell the telecommunicator that's an individual associated with that piece of apparatus. So that may be somewhere to start with that, keeping it unique, because obviously those are unique. And that makes the distinction between the Roswells and Raleighs, for example, or the Fairviews and the Fuquays that are sometimes confused with the acronym. So
yes, I agree with you, and I think that's a great idea, because the radio system doesn't care what alias you assign to it as long as it's not duplicated, and it makes sense to build it off of what CAD has already established. That way it's a little more easily identified with the telecommunicator, because they're going to have multiple things they're looking at the same time. So if the radio alias pops up here and it's 91ZF and it associates with that CAD alias, it's easier for them to you know, mnemonically remember that and say, okay, that's Zebulon Fire, you know. So I think that's a great idea. And if whatever list you provide me, and then I can just import it into the radio system, and it'll populate, you know, within minutes once I have that final list.
And I think part of our discussion was as well, and Frank can help us with this, is once those aliases are determined, we've got to make sure that they go to the right places so that everything matches. And I know Chief Pope has brought up, you know, several times where you fix an alias, but it's not right on this side, or it's not right. That was part of our discussion, is how do we make sure that all of those updates occur. So I think we're we're well on the way to addressing it and fixing these issues. We just got to formalize it and get all that worked out.
I agree, and I think, and not to get off on a tangent on that, I think the ticketing system that Raleigh has works really well when it's utilized. And if a unit or a radio changes its designator or it changes hands, if a call was put into communications to open a ticket with that information, and it was assigned, that ticket is in turn assigned to the CAD guys and it's assigned to us, we would get an email notification to update that alias. I think that would keep things in sync, but it all starts with that process flow, and then everybody has to adopt it. So, but I agree with you there too. I think that would be very helpful, that any alias updates, we just have to make sure we figure out a way to get it to the right people.
Any other questions or comments on the policy update discussion?
Hey, Chris, it's Tim Herman. Are we looking to get this done before the second touch, or is this going to take some time and it'll be later on?
I'll give you my personal opinion, and then I'll let anybody else chime in. For me, me personally, I'd like to see it before the personal touch, before the next touch, that second touch. That is quite a task. I think Chief Cooper verbalized it very well at our meeting. This needs to be fixed as soon as possible. This can't be a project that we put on the back burner and just get to it one day. And I like setting us some deadlines and working towards those. My goal would be that I follow up with the individual region reps to clean these radio aliases up as soon as possible, and we continue to push as hard as we can to get it done as quickly as we can.
Yeah, Chris, can I add one thing?
Sure.
Yeah, one of the things we realized is that there's a lot of collaboration and everyone had to give. I want to emphasize that, and everyone understands the importance of it. But on the other, on the second part of that is, once we clean this up, we understand there are certain departments that have the ability to change templates and or programming. It's going to be imperative that once those radios and templates are agreed upon and aliases, that they remain set. And I think that needs to be stressed to the region reps.
Very good point. Chief Herman, did you have another question or comment?
No, I was going to agree with you, Chris, that it makes sense just to use the current CAD designee since it's unique. Because I was just looking at my radio sitting in front of me, and the alias is just engine by the officer. No Garner, no nothing. But that's taken already, so I mean, I think if we put GFE, whatever, GFE5, come up with what we want to do. Well, so I mean, I think everybody would agree on the officer and the driver. What did y'all come up with? The firefighter, if we could all agree on it. Firefighter A, B, I know Raleigh's using irons and different things like that.
Yeah, there was conversation because there was about three or four different models. There were the letter designations, and I think even with among the group, there were different letters. You know, A would mean one thing when one department, it meant something different in another. It seemed, and Chief Cooper, again, I don't mean to keep picking on you, but I know you, and there were others they could chime in too, but what I gather from the conversation is, how much did it really matter that the guy who rode in the seat behind the driver was B on everyone, or D, or irons, or you know, whatever term, as long as the telecommunicator could associate that person with the unit, or more importantly, with an incident?
I don't know if we'd ever agree on things, but does it really matter? Because this is related to a mayday.
That's right.
You can hear a call, and if Firefighter X wanted to call him nozzle and iron, but the alias really just settles it with their own, you know, Zeglin Engine 91 firefighter.
That's right. And I think that was the takeaway that I got, because we found out a lot of people use a lot of different configurations. I think that we're going to, if we try to standardize that across the county in Raleigh and Cary too, I don't know, maybe some of y'all may think that's an easier task, and maybe it is surmountable, but I don't want that to drag us down by any means.
I agree, and I mean, I want our radio to reprogram Second Touch yesterday just to get all the lowercase channels out of confusing, our scan issues that we're having. So this, you know, I'm not trying to skip ahead, you know, the Mayday or the emergency button. I mean, I'm ready to contact Frank and let's do this, but it sounds like this may get pushed back even further, or I don't know.
Chris, right quick, this is Daryl. I think we need to get that group back together that had the really technical experts from both centers, kind of the same group we had before, back together and see where we're at as soon as we get these aliases nailed down. So, Herman, I would hope that maybe within 30 days we could be a lot closer.
And here's let me throw a thought I had, and you guys tell me if it'll work or whatever. My intent was to, Frank would provide us an alias list of all the aliases there, take that list, divide it up among our region reps. For anybody who's not on the call, I'll bring them up to speed. We can go through that list and work with those departments to get that list cleaned up, divide and conquer kind of thing. And when that technical group meets again, we can come to the table saying, we've cleaned up the aliases, and this is what they look like. And then that I think that'll help the conversation. Anybody have an opposition to doing it that way? That's either a good thing or I dropped off the line once. I'm gonna assume that works for everybody.
You're on the line.
Cool. Good. Any other questions or comments on the Mayday policy stuff? Good conversation. Very good. We'll move down to new business. We've got the P25 upgrade update. Frank, I believe you're the man on that. If you don't mind, just kind of tell everybody where we're at with that.
Sure thing. I had to find my unmute button. Sorry for that pause. So I think the last meeting we had, or the last information that was put out, we have made the cut over to P25. We've been working to on some punch list items for the sites. We've got all our channels up now and working. We had a bad antenna at the Little River site. We've gotten that replaced. So we're just doing some final cleanups and removing the old 4.1 information. So what it comes down to now is the second touch of reprogramming to pull all the old 4.1, the lowercase stuff out of the radios. And we've already started that process in earnest with, we used Swift Creek Fire as a demo to program some radios, and which we did program those radios. They're working on it's not a true second touch code plug yet, but we were able to pull out all the old 4.1 stuff. And with EMS, we've already started with them. They're probably well over 90% done with the second touch of programming. Our intent was to start with the fire services, and that's why we started with the Swift Creek as a test, but there were some decision points to be made on your case, so we went ahead and moved EMS up to get them going. So there are some changes to the code plugs related to the alias, related to the Mayday policy. And then once we finalize those changes, we'll start in earnest. Similar to what we did before, we'll reach out to each fire department directly, we'll schedule some dates and times, and then we'll start the programming. And once we pull everything out of the radios, you guys are free and clear to do whatever you need to do. It's not quite of a longest process as it was before, because as before, we actually had to update some of the firmware. We had to do some other things in your radios. This time around, it should be a little cleaner in that it's just a quick clone express. We're looking forward to getting started with that, and get that old information out of the radios and get your radios updated so that they operate more efficiently and fix any errors that we injected when we did the first touch on the radios and make those changes that you guys are looking for. So that's where we're at right now. We're just waiting on the green light from the fire services to get started in earnest in programming your radios.
Chris, may I ask Frank one question?
Sure.
Frank, and this is budget related, and it's just because you talked about infrastructure, then it's on my mind. We need to get together as far as infrastructure goes. In the tax district model, we have like $303,000 of uncommitted budget in pagers and infrastructure. So we need to get together and talk about that. Unless you say no, I got plans to spend that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. My calendar is published, so if you see any openings, grab them and we can talk about it. $303,000 for this current fiscal year?
That's a rolling line item. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, because I know we have had some discussions about it before, but I just need to brush up on where we left it, I guess.
Frank, are you... I don't assume incorrectly. Are you doing over-the-air programming for this update or not?
To the extent where we can, yes.
Okay.
Because there's such... let me try to explain this. So some of the radios, or all of the radios that we have, they have different flash codes. The flash code tells us, it decodes what's in the radio. You have to have... in the radio over-the-air programming capability. Some of the radios that the fire departments have do not have that capability. None of any XTS or XTL radios that you're still using have that capability. So to the extent that we can program over-the-air, we will, but it's still going to require a physical touch of some of the radios, so not as many. So once we start reaching out to those fire departments and the scheduling, somebody will be on site regardless to do, you know, the one-off radios that can't do over-the-air programming and get those up to date. So I know that's not a yes or no answer, but it's just not a yes or no thing that we can do. So
that makes perfect sense. Anybody else have other questions for Frank on P25?
Chris, this is Jim Jones in Fuquay.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I know there was some discussion in the last communication committee meeting about adding the carry tax channels, and there was some discussion about whether we were going to leave it up to departments to add, or were we just going to make it countywide. Was there any decision made on that? I'm just curious. And the reason I'm curious is we had a call last week where we were actually put on one of those channels and we don't have them in our radios.
So I think the consensus was to add those talk groups to everybody's radio, because you just never know where you're going to end up in the grand scheme of things. Frank, is that how you recalled it?
Yes, it is. It is. Originally, even before we went to P25, the carry channels used to be in the fire departments that immediately bordered the town borders, like Fairview and Western Wake and whoever. And so that's all we did when we did the first touch, was we added those carry tax to those radios, and we did have that discussion that you guys would like to see it in all of their radios, and that's our intent. Once we reprogram everything, you get all of the additional carry fire tax, the existing ones that they originally had and the newer ones. So you'll get all of those.
Oh, okay, great. I knew there was a discussion, I just couldn't remember what the final outcome was. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Herman, I think someone else had a question or comment. I'm not sure who that might have been.
Yeah, I had one for Frank, but I wasn't even aware that this was possible. I was having a conversation with Chief Rains over in Cary and about station alert, but it came up about their radios actually act like pagers and beep like a pager. Is that an option in our current radios? And if so, we would be looking to get rid of, you know, maybe reducing our pager fleet if the radio could act like a pager. Do you know if that's an option in our...
Are you talking about the VHF tone and voice pagers?
Correct.
Or the, yeah.
I guess, and Cooper could chime in on this. I mean, their actual two-way radio beeps like a pager. They don't carry the tone pager. Is that even an option if we wanted to get away from the pager business?
It is, but it's something that would have to be... It requires, on our end, a little more engineering and programming and thought, because... If I don't know if you guys are going to want to do it for all the fire services in Wake County. So if we do it for one department, we've got to design it as if we're going to do it for all departments. Whether you utilize it or not, that way down the road, if another department says, hey, I want to do it, and I want to do it, and I got 10 stations, and I'm Raleigh Fire, and I want to do it, and I got 28 stations, you know, we've got to accommodate that space and that application for everyone. So it will do it, yes, but it's not something that we can program in on the second touch without a lot of rework, because we're going to have to build that scheme, that toning matrix out for everyone and accommodate all of the departments plus all of their stations. I mean, it's I don't want to say it's easy. It's not. Cary has, what, 10 stations now? Excuse me if I'm wrong, misspoken in that, but those are the only stations they have to worry about in their one fire department. Now, I know they did add Apex and they added Morrisville, but Garner, you have 4, and you may be building a 5th one. Nightdale has, with the merger, they have 4 and may be building a 5th one. So I have to build a spreadsheet that allows unique toning for every department plus all of their stations. And then we have to build that into all of your radios. So again, I find it hard to give yes and no answers. So the short answer is yes, they will do it, but that's something that we would have to spend a little more time engineering and designing and testing to make sure that it works.
Okay. And that may be something, I don't know if any other department's interested. I mean, we're all doing business a little different, you know, the days of volunteerism and, you know, pagers and stuff like that. That was just something we could eliminate. You know, we're still taking everyone on duty. You've got a tone pager. Seemed like a good fit to possibly eliminate that, but just throwing it out there.
Any other questions or comments on P25? Frank, thank you for that. TDMA, so TDMA is coming down the road. Frank's put out some information in recent weeks. We're working towards that 2025 date on the Viper side, Viper's requirement to have our radios TDMA compatible. Some of you have dealt with Johnston County moving on a little different time frame based on their needs. They're wanting they're requiring anyone that wants to communicate with them be TDMA by January 1, 2023. So that's a potential upgrade, or a upgrade. I want to stay away from saying potential and could. This is all pretty definite that's going to happen. So Frank, any, I know there's a lot of different aspects of this, but on the TDMA, anything else that we need to talk about as far as what goes into this and how we work through this?
So Johnson County's decision only affects really four fire departments. No one else in the county, just Knightdale, Zebulon, Wendell, and Garner Fire. It doesn't affect anyone else in the county, that because you effectively switch over to their system. It's just like you going to Viper. You're going to a different radio system. And historically, Johnson, it only works on P25, which is where we're at now. But Johnson County is going to TDMA, a TDMA-type radio system, full-time. It already exists, but it has a system of downgrading your radio call to what we use today. TDMA is simply a way for them to double their channel capacity on their system, where you have one talk path, it splits it into two. So once they flip that switch and say, we're going to do TDMA only, our radios have to be capable of using that TDMA feature. And Viper has put out information that they intend to fully cut over on July the 1st, 2025. So we have some time to ramp up for that. We've got some time to do any budget planning. We've got time to hopefully find any grant funding that'll allow us to do this, by this feature. It has to be added to some of your radios. So, but Johnson County's decision is January of next year. So that affects about 163 radios for each of the fire departments. Chris, 40 of your radios need the TDMA. Because you can talk to Johnson County today, but this Johnson system will allow you to downgrade that call to what we're using today. So January the 1st, you'll need that flash added to your radios that will allow your radio to do TDMA with Johnson County. So I'm working with Motorola. Right now, that flash per radio is about $518 per radio. I'm working with them to get that price down to $375, I think, per radio. Significant cost savings. We know the number of radios that need it. We just need to identify the funding in the short term for these. I think it's about $61,000 total. I mean, that we need to find before January the 1st of next year to upfit these fire departments to do this. Now, Knightdale Fire is already taken care of, so we don't have to worry about Knightdale Fire radios. Zebulon, you don't have any. Garner, you have, I want to say, three or four radios that are capable of full TDMA. And Wendell, I don't think you have any radios that will do it. So we just need to buy that flash Motorola, and we can incorporate that at any time. I wouldn't delay the second touch of programming for this. We can come out and install that and reprogram your radios at that time. So we just have to have it done before January the 1st. Now, the Viper one, again, that's July the 1st of 2025. And that's for everybody in the county, EMS, law enforcement, whoever. They're going to need that by then.
Frank, Daryl, I got a couple of things. So first, I hate to say that it's just relegated to the departments that border Johnson County, because the way we run AVL, there's an opportunity almost to half the county to be going into Johnson County if they need assistance or it's a significant call. Next, is there a way that you could provide me, and then I'll distribute it, a by a department spreadsheet that shows the radios that need to be upgraded? Because not only does that have some cost effect to the fire tax district fund, the cost shares have to pay their cost share, and I'm not sure that a Zebulon or a Garner or anyone else is prepared to do that immediately before January, and we just need to have some conversations about it. If I think it would be better if we knew the whole scale of the county and what we were looking at so we could make an informed decision.
Yeah, I already have that information. I parsed it out as part of our As we were reprogramming the radios for the first touch, I was gathering that information then, because I made a, when I was informed of the Viper mandate for 2025, I told Motorola, do not sell any more Wake County radios to any agency in Wake County after January the 1st of 2020 that's not TDMA. So any radios countywide that's been bought after January the 1st of 2020 already has it. That's why some departments may already have it. So when we were doing the first round of reprogramming, I was gathering that information of inventory on hand. So I have an accurate count of which fire departments. That's why I knew Garner already has three that'll do it. I mean, I compared the notes and said, okay, these radios will do TDMA. So I already have that information. I can just share that with you for the fire departments, and you'll have what you need.
That would be great, and I don't need it by, you know, by radio identifier, just a, you know, like for Zeblin, if it's 40,
yeah, I have a count.
If it's gone as 30, that way we can look at it, see what the total cost is going to be, and make an informed decision on do we want to wait or how we want to do it.
Yes, exactly. I have that broken out that way for a total count. So like Garner, Zeblin Fire has 40 radios. They all need it. Garner Fire has, I'm not looking at it right now, 79. Three of them will already do it, so they only need about 76 of these flashes. The important thing to keep in mind is I've got some negotiating power with Motorola, and I'm able to get that down to $375. What makes them more anxious or willing to give us that reduced price is if we come at them with a bigger number. So our immediate need is for those 169 radios for the departments that border Johnson County and interoperate with them. The bigger need is for all of the fire services. So we can, you know, they're willing to negotiate even more readily so if we come at them with big numbers. So just want to keep that in mind. I don't want to piecemeal it and say I need five this month and 10 next month, and more than likely you're going to pay the full price. But there are some cost savings if we come at them with a bigger number.
Thank you, Frank. I apologize too if somebody heard something strange. Somebody just walked in my office and started yelling. I don't even know who it was.
Hey, Darrell, so for a Garner or Zeblin, do we need to put something in the budget that's getting ready to get turned in next week on that, or wait to hear from you?
Well, I think as soon as if Frank's got that information, I'm assuming Frank may be able to get that to me pretty quick this afternoon, and I can get it to y'all, and we can make a decision on. I don't think it's hardly a decision for the departments that realistically border the county, but I think we need to make a holistic decision on the county as well.
Yeah, and on that note, Frank, is EMS, you know, I know they're sending units into Johnson County, I think, daily. Are they part of this?
They will be. They're not part of they already have quite a number of TDMA capable radios because they bought quite a bit since January 1st of 2020, and their TDMA capable radios have been reassigned to their command staff, their EMS chiefs and whatnot. But keep in mind, Viper has always been our conduit for communicating with Johnson County. So they communicate with Johnson County, the hospitals that are down there and whatever. So they use Viper for that. And that's why some of the other departments, you know, I don't know, Western Wake can talk to Johnson County today, but they're using Viper to talk to Johnson County. So they just do not have those JOCO zones where you actually have the JOCO ops channels.
So EMS is not switching over to on their system currently, so it doesn't matter. Okay.
No. The one now, the radios that they have that are already TDMA capable, they have the JOCO ops, yes. But like some of the ambulances that don't have it, no. They would use the Viper channels to talk to Johnson County. Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Frank, on the the easy way to ask this question is to use our radio. So we've got a handful of the 5,000 portables. Are they upgradable as well?
No, they will not do TDMA.
So for us, it may or may not be. We've got to evaluate the way we use those radios. So yeah. The fact that they can't be upgraded may not be an issue for us, but I know some departments use those older radios in more of a first line type of operation. So I don't know how we address that, but I think that's a consideration we've got to keep in our mind. If a department is using those older 5,000 portables, then they're not going to be able to be upgraded with TDI.
That's right. Yeah, any XTS or XTL radios that any department is still holding on to and using, they will not do TDMA, period. They're just, you can't get it. And they won't do over-the-air programming. So we can manually touch them, and we can program them for Viper and P25 all day. It's just when Viper switches to P25, you may as well put them up on the shelf and along with the Elf around Christmas time, because they're not going to do anything for you.
Chris, I think if you remember when we replaced radios about, I can't remember now, 4 or 5 years ago, when some people decided to keep those, we told them that is kind of at their own risk. You know, because remember, I think we were very short on funding at that point, and we kind of got down really to the brass tacks on how many radios people were going to get. So it may just be where we have to evaluate in a couple years. As Frank says, when we get to the Wake County drop-dead date of 25, do we need to buy some more radios to fill in gaps, or it kind of is what it is?
I think you're right. Frank, the JC Fire patch, that's on the Viper side, isn't it? I was trying to in my mind think through the...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, anything... Like on your 5,000s, anything JC Fire or JC Mixway, that's Viper. That's right.
Gotcha. Any other questions or comments on TDMA upgrades? Very good. Move to our last item on the agenda anyway, or next to the last. Motorola Critical Connect. Critical Connect was a feature of the radio system that was, I guess, Frank, categorized as part of the P25 upgrade process.
That's correct. Yes. It was a feature that became available with P25, yes.
And that's for those that aren't familiar, that's the ability to access the radio system through a cell phone, iPhone, Android phone, what have you. So, I don't know who to start the conversation about Critical Connect. Daryl, Frank, I don't know.
Well, I can tell you a little bit about what it is and what it does and some of the limitations behind it. But I think it's on the fire services side to decide how to use it and implement it and who you're going to allow to use it, because it's not a replacement for your radios. But Daryl, if you want to go first, by all means.
I will, Frank, and you can correct me on anything
okay.
that I said wrong. So Critical Connect comes with only a certain amount of channels that are available with it, which are shared channels between fire, EMS, and law enforcement. So there's not going to be an opportunity out of the get-go for the whole span of channels that you're used to having. So, you know, all the TAC channels, all the ops channels. So for me, that puts more pressure on Raleigh Wake if we say, yeah, every fire chief and assistant chief and battalion chief in the county can have this. So all of a sudden, I'll use myself as the example. I'm at the beach, and all of a sudden, I want to know what WC1's doing on a call, and they're on TAC 4. So I whip out my phone, and I call Raleigh Wake on dispatch channel and say, hey, I ain't got this TAC channel in here. Can you tell me what's going on in Garner where the Wake County Fire Investigators there? To me, that puts more stress on Raleigh Wake having to relay information like that, and allows the opportunity for a fire scene or something to be managed from somewhere other than there. So I'm not a fan. It also costs money, and I can tell you we just don't have, and I can't even remember what Frank said the costs were, but, you know, finding $500 per department to pay for Critical Connect out of the fire tax district budget versus finding a second set of turnout gear for your firemen, I know where my priorities would be at. you want to elaborate any more? Did I miss anything or miss anything?
No. You drove a good point home in that it is not intended to replace your radios. It is not intended to replace operationally how you communicate with 911 or specific calls. What it is an interoperable service or application that you can use to coordinate high-level things. For example, you may want all your battalion chiefs to have it, and the chief, and you know, if your chief is at the beach and your battalion chief is managing a big structure fire, you know, like the one in Rocky Mount where that warehouse burnt down, you know, you could talk to them over the radio if there were some other things that needed to be coordinated locally with a battalion chief. But it's not where you're going to have the ability to monitor the PSTAC channels or the FDOPS channels. So it is limited in its capability, but it does provide you with another application for interoperability, because on the backside, we're going to tie it into Viper, and we're going to tie it into AT&T FirstNet, and we're going to tie it into Verizon. So if you have a Verizon phone service or an AT&T service phone, whether it's Apple or an Android, it's an application that you can download to your smartphone, and you'll have access to a restricted number of active radio talk groups. For example, mutual ops channels, you know, you like the sheriff's office. I know this is fire. Let's try to find a fire example. Well, like I said, Raleigh Fire is a big department. They've got 5 battalion talk groups, 1 through 5, that they could utilize. And I know, for example, a real world example is Raleigh Fire did utilize those back in the day when the tornado came through Wake County and ripped everything up, and the radio system was jammed up because all the TAC channels were assigned. I think Raleigh Fire made the decision to communications stop assigning Raleigh Fire calls to TAC channels and just use the battalion chief's channels 1 through 5. And if you had critical connect with your smartphone, you could talk to through the radio system to those channels. So think of it as more of a command type interoperable means to communicate. But like Daryl said, it's not intended to replace the radios. It's not really a good tool for just put my radio down and run a fire call on a PSTAC channel. You won't have that access to do that. One other thing I did want to add is, yes, there is a cost associated with it. It's a subscription service. So if you have AT&T phones, you have to, for all the smartphones you want this critical connect feature to work on, you have to pay AT&T that. You have to get that push-to-talk feature from them, and I think there's a charge for that, $2 or $3 per phone per month that you have to use with it. So there's a cost associated with using it, but I just want everybody to know that the infrastructure is ready for critical connect, and the agencies that want to use it, that ability is there for them to use it. It just has to be managed. It can't be all or nothing. It doesn't have that capability. It's just another piece of interoperability, or an interoperable tool that you can use for coordinating big events. The other thing I did want to say is that we can create broadband channels that don't tie into the radio system. So if Zebulon Fire, for example, if you decide, hey, I want to use Critical Connect, I got AT&T phones, I'm going to pay that service, I want one talk group that ties into the radio system, Zeb Fire Admin, and I want 5 broadband talk groups that only exist on that smartphone. They don't tie into the radio system whatsoever. So you could use those at your leisure. They're like push-to-talk channels, but they would be on your smartphone. Kind of like the way we used to do it back in the day when Nextel was big, and you could talk to people in your group just by keying up your phone. So, Daryl, I hope I didn't say too much or get anybody in trouble, but it is it's a tool to be used wisely. It's not to replace the radio system, but we're capable of using it now for the agencies that want to.
Anybody have any questions about that service? Or like I said, I think that's a good update, because that was a feature we had talked about a number of years ago. We knew it was coming down the pipe,
mm-hmm.
But that kind of gives us an update of where we're at. I think the fact that we're limited in its functionality, for me, drastically changes how usable it is as compared to what I just thought it would be beforehand. But any questions anybody has?
Chris, right quick, you have contracted area in Johnson County, and you use the version of whatever they got. Do you see any? Do you use it?
So I do. The difference being is I have access to on their system. If I don't have access to all the talk groups I need, I don't know it, because I have access to all the operational talk groups, which makes it very, very similar to a radio. Definitely not the same, but the Johnston County version does not require the monthly fee like Frank is talking about. And again, there's a much wider talk group connection than what we're talking about here. So when you add those others, then what I use down there works very well. But you know, not being able to access all the channels and paying an additional fee definitely reduces the attractiveness, for sure.
Hey, Daryl, this is Dominic Nutter. You know, let me add to that. Where I came from, we already had the P25, and before Critical Connect, before Motorola bought it, it used to be called Twisted Pair. And the way that we used it there, we, for example, used it in disaster recovery, where non-public safety departments were patched into a channel that we use for disaster recovery, and they would communicate that way. But otherwise, anything operational really isn't effective, because it requires you to do, especially in a communication center, that's additional traffic that would come in, and then recognize who that person is. So it's definitely not a desired thing for it to work like that. No, I think it's purely more of an administrative function that you can use to monitor like one or two things, but that's about it.
Hey, Dominic, this is Frank, and that is a great example of where it really would prove useful, where an emergency management was involved or a fire scene was involved, and you had some volunteers or outside agencies that you needed to talk to and coordinate. They could download the app if they had the push-to-talk feature. Obviously, you need that in their smartphone. But you could download the app. We could open it up to allow them to talk for that evolution. And then after that evolution or event finished, we could turn them off, and they wouldn't have access to those radio channels anymore. So it would be a good tool for that, yeah.
That's exactly right, Frank. And that's how I've used it before. That's it.
Yeah, and to put a cap on that, the max limitation is 250 talk paths tied into the radio system, and that is as many as we can absolutely add. And there's a significant cost with that, and it's a monthly subscription cost. So obviously, the more we add, the more we pay. But to just have it sit idle, because there may be some tech channels you never use, but maybe once a month, I mean, the cost outweighs the benefit to having it in that capacity. Now, having it as a interoperable tool that we can use on short occasions or times when the events warrant it, yes, I think it's good to have it at that level. But to try to max out the Critical Connect, it would just be overwhelming and extremely costly for that.
Frank, I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm probably pretty certain on this. Most everybody heard $2 to $3, $4 a while ago per phone. What? Well, are there infrastructure costs that you're going to be passing on to a Zebulon and a Fuquay and to County Fire Services for the unincorporated areas for the backside of this that maybe each department, unless you're a cost share, sees?
So to clarify your first point, that's $2 to $3 per phone per month. And just to set that perspective. And yes, there is an infrastructure cost that where we tie into the cloud, if you will, that we pay monthly, but annually it's based on the cost share. The amount that hits the maintenance contract is about $25,000 a year. But once you spread that out amongst all the agencies and everything, it's really a minor cost because it's based on it's a subscription based, but it's based on the agencies. So it, you know, but yes, it is an infrastructure cost that's there. So if you decide, hey, we don't want Critical Connect, we'll never use it, we don't want it in any shape, form, or fashion, then you know we can pull it completely out of the fire services, but you'll never have access to it. For example. So the infrastructure costs relative to the overall budget is less than 1%. I mean, but the individual cost to use it is, it gets expensive per agency because we don't control that cost. We can't tell Zebulon how much money to spend on their smartphones and who has access to it and whatnot. So that cost is on Zebulon Fire, for example.
Any other questions about Critical Connect? Very good. Are there any other items that we failed to talk about today that we need to talk about? Anything on anybody's radar this afternoon?
Chris, if we got time, I'm not putting Rachel on the spot, but I'm pretty confident she's on. Been some questions on when y'all may see what your portion of the CAD bills are going to be as you're working on your budgets that are due Friday. Rachel, you want to give update?
Hey, Daryl, this is Dominic. We're in the middle of that between the Raleigh and Wake County on who's handling that, so that's something we can follow up with you later.
And Dominic, please don't take this as rude, but that's something that the fire department's budgets are due Friday.
Right, that's why it's in the process of being done right now.
Yeah, being the process of done right now, their budget is due back to us on Friday. I don't think helps the cost shares of the world.
No, I got you. No, that, in fact, I just, while we were in this meeting, I just got a message from Mike. I guess Suzanne Walker and Mike Bass were messaging back and forth. I didn't know that the fire services budgets were due back this Friday, to be honest with you. I'll have something back to you this afternoon on who's going to handle that.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Hey, Chief, just to circle back around real quick, as a region leader, are we supposed to be reaching out versus this A-list thing, or is that going to come from you or Daryl? I just want to make sure I'm not dropping the ball.
Sure. I'll send each region rep something, and maybe even some guidance. But I'll send something to you guys. That way, Frank's sending me the alias list, and then I'll push it out to you guys. I know that there's been, just while we've been on this call, there's been some conversation about standardizations within some of the regions. So I think that's admirable, too. Anytime we can standardize stuff, I'm certainly a big supporter of that. So, but, yeah, I'll get that to you, Chief Herman.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions or comments? Not hearing anything. I thank everybody for your time today. We'll keep our fingers crossed that the next time we meet, we'll be back in person. But if not, we'll get together like this again. But I thank you for your time. And if you, anything comes up, don't hesitate to give me an email or give me a call. Thank y'all very much. We stand adjourned.
Thank you.